You know, we're in this season of Epiphany, I guess. And we're seeing these moments, crucial moments in the life of Jesus. And then we're invited to reflect on what Jesus is doing, what he's saying, his life, and then see how his life, his reality shapes ours. And of course, context is everything. We started with Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. There's 11 verses that we didn't get to read together. But if you've read it, if you're a super Anglican, you've probably been doing all the readings and you know what came before, which is the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, where Jesus confronts the enemy, Satan, and Satan tries at least three different ways to try to trip Jesus up. And he offers him, creature comforts. Here's some food. You're hungry. Or how about here's some power? All you got to do is worship me, Jesus. Here's some power. And notably, Jesus doesn't talk to the devil except by quoting scripture. That itself is another sermon. I'm not going to give it today, but it's important to know that this is what Jesus just went through. 40 days in the wilderness, contending with the enemy. And then when he finishes this ordeal, this trial, that's where the story picks up. His cousin, John the Baptist, arrested. And we know how that story ends. He loses his head. And Jesus, that's turmoil for him. It's his family. One of the few people who kind of really got who Jesus is. How many of us have had someone that understood us, that loved us, that was in our corner? And then we lost them. It happens. That's Jesus. His cousin's arrested. And then Jesus does some bizarre moves because he just went through an incredible ordeal. Maybe some trauma going on. His cousin's arrested. His family's breaking apart. And then he retreats. And then he thinks about the word of God, the Isaiah reading that we read today. He considers that prophecy, and instead of doing almost anything else, which would have been very reasonable, maybe go back home to see the mom and the brothers, his family, go on a little retreat, a little vacation. He doesn't do any of that. He considers the word of God, he considers the Bible, and then he proceeds to fulfill a prophecy, which is Jesus showing up, the light of God, showing up to the Gentiles. Gentiles is another word for non-Jewish folk. So all of us here, unless you're ethically Jewish and part of the religion, we're all Gentiles here. So the light of God to the Gentiles, Jesus enacts that prophecy, fulfills it. Which is bizarre. It's so next level, and it's important to think about that. Because after Jesus does that, fulfills a prophecy, then you notice he starts pulling people. Again, just dealt with Satan himself, his cousin's arrested, gonna die. Jesus starts pulling people to him, collecting what we know as the disciples or the apostles. Jesus begins a grassroots religious movement. Now, if you're comfortable with the church, then names like Peter and Andrew, disciples, these are all very comfortable words to us. I mean, we're familiar with it. So it's going to be some work for us, if you're comfortable with church, to sort of step out of that comfort zone and sort of really look at what's happening. Because in what Jesus is doing, we're being shown, well, what we need to be, or the choices that we're making. What are we choosing to be? This is what I mean. Jesus starts this movie. He starts pulling people. And what were they doing? They were fishing. These people that Jesus comes up and pulls. Hey, follow me. Follow me. And then it says that they leave their nets, right? One pair, the other pair, they're with their father in a boat. Drop it, and they go forward. And that for us, that's going to be the question. That's going to be the lesson. Because Jesus, in the midst of the hardest moment, one of the hardest moments of his life so far, it's not the cross yet, but it's coming, but so far, this is the hardest part. His life is clearly shaped by the Word of God, and so he steps into the Word of God and fulfills it. And then he brings others into this movement. That's the move. In other words, at all times in our life journey, whether you're on the mountain peak or you're in the valley, the call for all human beings is to live in the light of God. In other words, at all times, we are called to live in what God has called us to do, and what God has called us to be, which is followers of Jesus, right? Jesus knew that. That's why in the middle of his grief, he didn't take a vacation, he didn't take some time off, he just went right forward, and he started pulling people, because the movement, who Jesus is and what he was going to do, it's not taking a break. It moves forward. And so he's calling these people. Right? So he's calling them, and they dropped everything, and now we're being called. And so here's the question. Are you a follower of Jesus? Or are you an admirer of Jesus? Are you a follower? Or are you an admirer? Because Jesus has many folks who admire him, right? Over 2,000 years, human beings, whether Christians or, you know, religious people or philosophers, have been reading the words of Jesus, and they say many things like, wow, what great ethical teaching. Wow, teaching love and acceptance and community. Wow, he's speaking truth to power. He's such an admirable person. Wow, his teaching is so admirable. And you know what? Yes. Yes, it is. I will challenge you to find a deeper ethical teaching in this world. You're not going to find it. So yes, it's worth admiring what Jesus says. It's worth admiring who he is as a person, right? We can look at Jesus, wow, you had a plan from God and you were hurting. You just went right for it. That is so admirable. But Jesus didn't stop there. Notice that he didn't say, yes, please, go ahead and admire me. Isn't this great? How cool I am? No. Then he started pulling people. Come on. And so you have a choice to make this morning. And in fact, every morning. Are you an admirer? Are you a follower? You used to be a follower of Jesus. It means that the shape of your life is just going to be different. It's just going to be different. It says that they just dropped their nets. And I want to tell you something. At this point in time, these ancient Palestinian people were conquered by Rome. They were dreadfully poor. They were almost all broke because they're paying all these taxes to Rome. They're very poor. So everything they have, they don't have extra things. They don't have stuff that they have to do spring cleaning. Everything they have has a purpose. And the nets are very valuable because those nets are the thing that make their life cohere. I have these nets, and these nets I have, and I get some fish. I can probably sell this fish, and maybe my family can eat for one more day. Right? These aren't the fishing rods that I have in the basement that don't do anything. No, these nets are essential. And yet when Jesus comes, come follow me. It says they just leave it behind. And they follow him. Right? It's the writer of Matthew just uses such little words to describe such a big moment. Can you imagine? Imagine a career that you've worked, you know, you've got the necessary grade in high school, you went to university, you devoted a lot of your time, your effort, you've got the career that you wanted, and you're doing it, and it's affording your life. You're paying back your debts if you have student loans and everything, your whole life has been turned to this thing. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to stop doing that career and follow me. Makes my tummy tickle a little bit. You know, extending the edge of the precipice. Whoa, hey, easy. I don't know about that. Right? For some of us, it's a career thing. Or maybe you have a vision of what life looks like.
right? I put in my time. I've done some good work. I'm retired now. Hey, I want to be able to travel and do whatever I want to do. I want to be able to be on the hills. I want to be able to go to Hawaii sometimes. I want to visit my family who live in Guatemala. I want to travel a lot. And Jesus says, I see what you're doing there. I want you to let that go and come follow me instead. Oof. Right? It's hard. But it says that they did it. They let the nets go. And in the letting go, they drew close to Jesus, who is not only the greatest teacher the world's ever seen, but it's actually God in the flesh. In other words, they received more than they could have ever imagined. You think it's great having family support, friend support? Yes, it is. Because I have that. I'm very grateful for each one that I have. But I know that in the end, the support and the upholding I have from God is infinitely more precious. I love that my children and my wife hug me, but I know that Jesus saved me from death. That is infinitely valuable. And they received it at the letting go of those nets. Everything they thought was comfortable, was good, what I had achieved, they let it go to follow Jesus. That is the equation. That's the formula, if you want it. How do I live into being a more spiritually, psychologically integrated human being? Let go of the nets, follow Jesus. That's the map. But it's not going to happen if you simply admire Jesus. Right? You could say Jesus is great and his teaching is great until your face is blue in the face. You can do it all your life. It's not going to change you. It won't change who you are. The problems that each one of us has in our life. We've talked about it, right? We struggle to forgive. We struggle to be charitable. We struggle to do justice, right? We struggle with that. You can admire Jesus all you want. It's not going to change that for you. It's only in the following. And that's what Jesus has invited us to do. Follow him. Now each one of us is different. We have to acknowledge that. Each one of us has a different life story, circumstances. No two lives are identical. And we have to bring that to God. Because your net's going to look different from my net. Because for someone, Jesus, what does it mean for me to let go of this net? Oh, for you? You don't have a lot of disposable income now. You're now going to be very generous with your money. Jesus might say to one person, all right? That's their life journey, and money's going to be an issue for them. The next person is, you don't have as much disposable time as you think you do. You're going to be devoting your time to doing this for the community, or for these people who are hurting. It's not your own. You're doing this now, right? Nets. Or for you, yes, you worked really hard for that niche career, that niche sort of thing that you're doing. It's really cool that you really enjoy, but if you're going to follow me, you're going to give this up, right? I can't tell you that. Here's the thing, I can't. We can share lives together, we can talk about it, we can pray together, and I hope that we do. But ultimately, you have to go to Jesus, and you have to make up your mind. Because maybe you have to pray, Lord, I think I've been admiring you for years now, but I actually want to follow you. Lord, this person hurt me. And it's been a decade. I can't forgive them. Maybe I've been admiring you, but now I want to follow you. What do I have to let go? My comfort, my sense of pride and dignity. It galls me to forgive this person. It galls me that I can't enjoy what I want to enjoy to do this for you. What do I have to let go? Maybe it goes as far as I want to be able to stand up for you and talk about you in mixed company where maybe being a Christian and talking about Jesus is not comfortable. Right? There's more and more every day that becomes real for us. Unless you're in a very niche environment where all your friends are diehard Christians, being a Christian in a public sphere is uncomfortable. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Maybe that's your name. Let go of the conceit that everyone can like you in the way that you look and what you believe. And maybe you just got to be uncomfortable for a season. I don't know. They killed Jesus. Are we greater than our master? The answer has to be no. All right. Those are all the hard things. Pull the band-aid. I was really touched by what Paul wrote in his letter. He's like, I can't be too eloquent. I don't have a lot of wisdom so that I don't, in case I don't talk with the cross, I can't be too smart. So I kind of get off the hook every Sunday, but I don't know how much wisdom or eloquence is up here. But I do want to share with you the cross. Because everything I just shared is very uncomfortable. And I'm saying it to you, but as I say it to you, I had to think about this week. It's been cutting my heart. Right? I don't stand up here telling you this thing and I just walk away scot-free. No, it has to cut me first before I talk to you about it. But I'll share with you what helps me. And hopefully it helps you too. What makes it, although it's very hard to think that my life shape could look really different if I really give myself to Jesus, and that's very uncomfortable, because we're all kind of enjoy what we have, what makes it worth it is this. If you're a Christian, you trust in Jesus, you are trusting, you have a friend, right? God, creator, king, you have a friend who's with you right now. He's sitting with you right now. And he's saying to you, listen, I already died for you. I died for you. All the problems, the real problems that you had, that you had no power to fix, I gave my life for you. So those problems are squashed, which means whatever next step you take that's hard for you, understand that I've taken the hardest step you ever had to take. I took it for you. No death for you. I did it. I'm reliable and trustworthy, and I'm with you. So no matter what I'm calling you to do, whatever nets you're called to let go, I'm going to be right there with you. You're not going to be alone. Yes, sometimes it's going to be hard, but I'm going to give you the strength to do it. You won't be left to your own devices. You're going to be given what we call the Holy Spirit, in other words, God's animating power, personal power, to do whatever it is that God calls you to do. And as you take that step, you're going to find psychological, spiritual integration. You're going to find yourself being healed. You're going to find yourself, not that you won't have hard times, you will still go through suffering, and maybe even intense suffering, but you will become the kind of person that can go through that, and instead of crumbling into despair, you will be someone who will say, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you that you're always with me. And even at a hard time, you will be a blessing to others. Isn't that wonderful? That in your hard time, that you would emanate true love for those around you. That people would feel it. Oh, what kind of person are you? Who are you? Hey, what is it you believe? What's your life about? And that's what changes the world. It's not a politics, not a philosophy. It's not balancing the economy. It's actually becoming like Jesus. And that's what he's inviting you. Come follow me. Well, I hope that you do. Not only for your great good, but God's greater glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we praise you and give you thanks. We thank you that you're always with us, even in the hard. We thank you that you've called us to follow you. And God, sometimes it's really hard and really scary for us. So Lord, we thank you that you've gone to the cross for us. You've given your life for us. So all the really hard things are taken care of by you. And you're going to be with us every step of the way. Help us to have the courage to follow your leading. We pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.